You're listening to Eurovision Showcase on Forest FM. And this is Dana from Ireland, wishing you all a very happy Christmas.
Well, thank you very much, Dana, for that wonderful introduction. Welcome to the Eurovision Showcase on Forest FM. I am Kieran Tuttius, your host for this one-hour show of Eurovision music and glory. I'll give you a rundown of everything that you can expect in just a few moments. But first off, Netherlands 2001's national final. This is Ebonique with So Much Love.
We got so much
love. Just need a very same sun. So let's open our hearts for everyone in need. What can we do now? The cupboard is bare, and let's not stand by and pretend they're not there. Let's all lend a hand to the children of the world. Let's lend a helping hand. Let's give those kids a chance. A little love and understanding for the children of the world. Let's lend a helping hand. Let's give those kids a chance. A little love and understanding for the children of the world.
That's Gary Lux there, Austria 1985 with Children of the World, a fantastic song, or Kinder Wiese Welt. And before that we had Ebonique with So Much Love from the Netherlands National Final in 2001. Yes, welcome to the Eurovision Showcase here on Forest FM with me, Kieran Tussiott. Remember, you can keep in contact with the show all the time by following us on Twitter at ESC Showcase. And not forgetting as well, you can follow us on Facebook by liking us, facebook.com/ESC Showcase. It'd be wonderful to hear from you. If you have a request as well, again, it would be wonderful to hear from you. Now, later on in the show, we will obviously have our regular installment of the news. And also, we'll have an exclusive interview with Eurovoir commentator and editor Richard Taylor. Big, big Eurovision fan he is too. And we'll get to hear a story from him about what made him become a big, big Eurovision Song Contest fan, and give us his three worst Eurovision songs, which we all have our worst, I'm sure, even if you are a casual fan of Eurovision and you're not a diehard like me, but you remember probably the awkward ones. And we'll find out Richard's three best ones too. Okay, so we're going to head back to the UK National Final in 1995 now. And personally, I would have preferred this to go to Dublin in Ireland in 1995 to represent the UK, rather than Love City Groove, if we remember, the first ever UK rap song, and the first ever rap song at the Eurovision ever, to be honest. And this song was fantastic, it's very anthemic, and probably would have gave us a better result than 10th, which Love City Groove did, which, again, isn't a bad result, to be perfectly honest. And we did quite well in the 90s anyway, so fair enough, Ski. So anyways, this song came second in the UK National Final 1995, the Great British Song Contest it was called, and this is Dearer John with One Gift of Love.
Too soon to die, my love.
Christine Blonde, This Night Should Last Forever. That was from the Danish National Final in 2006, and I remember watching it live all the way back then. Some great, great memories watching that National Final, and I really wanted that song to win, because I loved ballads, and I still do to this very day. I'm a bit of a sentimental guy, some of you may not know. We'll have Rob's random request very soon, but first off, we'll hear a song that represented Bosnia-Herzegovina in 2004, and the same guy is going to represent Bosnia-Herzegovina again. Yes, indeed. So, and I can't wait to have Bosnia-Herzegovina back. They've been missing in the Eurovision Song Contest since 2012, and it's about time they made their return. And I love their entries. I really do. They're always very special every year. So, let's hear Dean in the disco.
Yes. Because I want to dance all night. Because I want to stay all night in the disco.
That's Dean in the Disco, Bosnia-Herzegovina, 2004. Now it's time for
Rob's Random Request.
And every week, ladies and gents, my partner Rob isn't a big Eurovision fan, just to reiterate, but he'll pick a song and a year at a random, and then we'll play his request. And he's requested Lithuania, 2001. Okay, so this was Lithuania's most successful Eurovision Song Contest song to date. From their debut entry in 1994, which they got nil point in, until 2006 when they got sixth with LT United with We Are the Winners, if you remember, which the UK gave 10 points to. Ireland gave Lithuania 12 points, which was even funnier. But anyways, we're going back to 2001, okay? This came 13th, okay? And this is Scamp with You've Got Style.
Hey, you sitting over there looking so fine, man, I can't seem to give it a while. We could spend some time and see if there's more to you than meets the eye, cause you sure look fine and you sure got style, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. vienas, ar ne? Slenka žemyn, mano žvilgsnis, aš skaičiuoju kiekvieną tavo žingsnį, žingsnį. Atsuki man tavo akis, apakinio mane, plaka mano širdis. Širdis, tai mano mintis, jaučiu štai ir tiek karščiausia mano naktis. Like this, like that, you. I'm glad I met you. Paskira palis klavų neba. Come on, sava, kom si, kom sa.
Don't you know you look so fine? Don't you know you blow my mind? Don't you know that you got style? I think I'll make you mine.
Hello, Forest FM. I am Destiny from Malta. My song this year is called Not My Soul. Thank you.
Happy Eurovisioning to all the Eurovision fans out there.
Why not join JP and the team of Radio International for a weekly trip through the world of the Eurovision Song Contest?
There'll be lots of music, artist interviews and regular features including the cover spot and the Eurovision Spotlight.
Bookmark it now on your web browser or even better, subscribe to the podcast via www.radiointernational.tv and you will never have to miss your favourite Eurovision radio shows.
Les gens coupaient le dos, comme si la vie marquait zéro. J'avais 15 ans, je vous disais wow, wow. J'aime la vie, il faut y croire, j'aime moi aussi. Des flammes, j'espoir, des insomnies. Mais au total, à la vision, j'aime l'horizon. J'aime, j'aime la vie.
J'aime la vie.
Sandra Kim, J'aime la vie. I love life. From Belgium's Eurovision winner in 1986, and that was a live rendition of Sandra Kim, J'aime la vie, from Norway in 2008. And wow, the crowd loved that, didn't they? And I've never understood why the BBC didn't get her to come to the Eurovision Greatest Hits concert. I mean, it would have been great to get a Belgian act for a start, but she was the youngest ever Eurovision winner of all time at the age of 13. And now the current rules have stated, certainly at least after 1986, that nobody under the ages of 16 will dawn at the Eurovision stage. They would have to participate in the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. So she will forever be incarnated as the youngest Eurovision winner of all time. And a fantastic song. It's one of our favourite Eurovision Song Contest winners' songs of all time, if that makes any sense at all. Right, we'll be speaking to Richard Taylor very soon here on the Eurovision Showcase. But first, it's now time for your Eurovision news here on the Eurovision Showcase with me, Kieran Tussiott, and it is Sunday the 6th of December 2015. All 54 songs of the Albanian National Final, the Festival Dikengës, are now all online. If you'd like to check them out, then you can follow the link on Eurovoir.com. The head of the Armenian delegation has hinted that Armenia will reveal their Eurovision 2016 entry on New Year's Eve. So stay tuned on the Eurovision Showcase for more details. Now, Malta have announced all of their songs and 49 hopefuls for the Maltese National Final for the 2016 Eurovision Song Contest. We have returnees of Lawrence Gray, Franklin Kalea, and in most in particular, Ira Losko, who came second for Malta with Seventh Wonder in the 2002 Eurovision Song Contest. Now, the Norwegian Melody Grand Prix National Final will take place on February the 27th. 280 songs have been submitted into the French broadcaster France 2 for the Eurovision entry in 2016. Donny Montel, who represented Lithuania in 2012, would like to represent Lithuania again, so let's see what happens. Now, also this week, we've had the names released of all of the Melody Festivalen 2016 artists revealed. If you would like to, again, find out more, then go to Eurovoix.com. That's Eurovoix.com. Now, it's already been announced from the organisers of Eurovision and concerts that Konrad Mass and Hera Björk, who represented Iceland in 2010, will host Eurovision and concert in the Netherlands. Oh, very exciting, very exciting. The tickets will go on sale on Monday the 4th of January at 12 o'clock Central European Time and cost €35 each. And that is your news.
Don't tell the gods I left a mess, I can't undo what has been done. Let's run for cover. What if I'm the only hero left? You better fire off your gun, once and forever. He said go dry your eyes and live your life like there is no tomorrow's sun. And tell the others to go singing like a hummingbird, the greatest anthem ever heard. We are the heroes of our time, but we're dancing with the demons in our minds. We are the heroes of our time, heroes. Dancing with the demons in our minds. Heroes, oh, oh, oh. We are the heroes of our time. Heroes, oh, oh, oh. But we're dancing with the demons
Zelmerlöf with Heroes here on the Eurovision Showcase. This is the Swedish Eurovision winner for this year, 2015. Now, the next song we're going to hear is a cover of another Eurovision winner for Sweden, this time in 1999, and it's from the American country music singer Elizabeth Cook. She was born on July the 17th, 1972. Cook made her debut on the Grand Ole Opry on the 17th of March 2000, and the Grand Ole Opry is a weekly country music stage in Nashville, Tennessee. Sorry, I'm terribly sorry I had to do that. Apologies to any of our listeners from the previous show, country music show. Oh, dearie me. She's pretty virtually unknown to the pop masses before she made an appearance in the United States on The Late Night with David Letterman in June 2012, and the New York Times called Cook a sharp and surprising country singer and a complete traditionalist. Yes, there you go. So this is Elizabeth Cook with the country music version of Take Me to Your Heaven, originally Charlotte Nielsen's Eurovision winner in 1999.
Shadows dancing slowly on my wall. Moonlight painting silver to the sound of heartbeat. Magical emotions take control. Knowing we will meet before the night is over.
Take me to your heaven, hold on to
Welcome back to the Eurovision Showcase here on Forest FM. You're joined with me, Kieran Tussiot, and on the other line, I have the editor, or one of the editors, of Eurovoir.com. It's Richard Taylor. How are you, Richard?
I'm very well, Kieran. How are you?
I am diddling very well, thank you, on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, of course. It's a bit windy, though. Yeah. So, I'm here to talk to you about the Eurovision Song Contest. Now, in particular, your fandom. But I would like to hear, firstly, what is your first memory of the Eurovision Song Contest?
My first memory. Now, this is really showing my age, okay?
Okay.
I can remember watching A Song for Europe on a Sunday afternoon with Terry Wogan in the early 90s.
Ah, dearie me, really?
Yeah, so that we're talking about 20-odd years ago.
We are.
So 22 years before it started going into all the, you know, Great British Song Contest on the National Lottery sort of thing. So we're talking about early 90s.
Yeah, sort of like 91, 92.
Yeah, Michael Ball, Sonia, that sort of era.
Oh, those were the best eras, though, when we had our big names representing the UK, eh?
The big names, and before it all started to go slightly downhill.
I know. Well, at least we had Gina G and Katrina the Waves to pick us up, didn't we?
Yes, yes. that sort of ended the greatness of the UK, I suppose.
It did, in a way. I mean, personally, I wasn't keen on Amani, to be honest, but that's neither here or nor there. what really brought you into becoming a big Eurovision fan in the first place? Because obviously you would have watched it, I would expect, every year.
Yes, I remember watching it for the first time properly in 95, because I was allowed to stay up and watch Love City Groove perform. Ooh. But that was it, you know, after that bed. So, because I would have been 10 then, I think. No, 10, 11. Still primary school age, anyway.
Yeah, so but same age as me.
Yeah. So, and then I can remember watching it properly in 96. But I think the thing that drew me to it was probably the foreign languages and different countries taking part. Mm. So somebody that doesn't like sport,
yeah,
it was like the World Cup of song, or the world, you know, something old, you know, different to sport in general.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's, you know, this is incredible, Richard, because it's almost like looking and speaking to a mirror. Because I don't like sport at all, but I love the Eurovision Song Contest, and I love the foreign languages of it, like you say.
I think if you ask the question to a lot of people, they'd come up with the same thing, because it is so, so hard to answer the question, what made you a Eurovision fan?
Yes.
But it's that element of the foreign participation.
Yeah, and finding out.
And the competition element.
Yeah, the competition element, and the thing, seeing if we could get more points than France or Ireland, or seeing if Turkey give more points to Cyprus, or they don't give them any points or whatever.
And I suppose with the Terry Wogan element as well, you sort of, listening to him, you build up your what's the word? Information base as such in your head year on year, so you know what to expect, especially with Terry's commentary. So you knew if Greece were about to give points, you knew straight away Cyprus were going to give 12 points, whereas some other countries were commentators. I don't think you get that necessarily.
No, you don't really anymore. Well, at least I don't think so. But, I mean, there is some slight element, isn't there, sometimes, of Graham Norton saying the odd random thing, which Terry would say. But on the whole, I feel like since he's taken over in 2009, he's really made Eurovision bit more of a competent competition to what the basis that Terry Wogan was giving to the viewer.
I'd agree with that. And coming home every year, I still Sky Plus it, and I still watch it back with the commentary. And, you know, mum or dad would say, well, Graham Norton said this, and I'm thinking, really? And it's interesting to watch back, because what we watch in the arena,
yeah,
the perception is completely different. It's quite interesting to see it in that respect as well.
Indeed, most definitely. And sometimes I feel like, you know, would it be good for me to not hear any of the songs and completely go into a shell until May, and I'll watch it on the telly and see it first view, but I just miss the drama of it all, the gossip about it, and,
you know, who could represent who, you know, every year. And it's a fascinating life to go through in a story.
That's very interesting how you say it, whether you don't hear any of the songs and watch it as a TV viewer. When I did a couple of podcasts with the SE Insight team in May in Vienna, what Ewan kept reminding us is this is a TV show. Remember what you're viewing on the screens in the press centre, not what you're seeing in the arena during the rehearsals. Because we've got to obviously talk about it, what we see on the screen. That is what the average TV viewer will see.
Exactly. And I think it's only, what, about less than 5%, isn't it, of Eurovision fan base have actually any impact in the Eurovision voting.
So
it's really minimalistic.
Exactly. And considering a lot of true fans, if they're fan club members, obviously buy the fan packages, so they're there in the arena anyway, so they're not going to have the opportunity to vote. I think I've only ever been to one contest where they've displayed the number in the arena, and I think that was the first contest I went to, and that's Belgrade.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, if you got out of your seat into, gone up to like the outside the arena bit into the bar area, you know, in the corridors, they would display the numbers on TV screens. Since that, I don't think I've been to a contest since, and I returned in 2010 and been back every year. I don't think I've been somewhere where they've done that.
Oh, okay. Well, my first Eurovision, I went to Malmo, and then I went to Copenhagen. So 2013-14, I managed to vote via the Eurovision app, which was via text message, and I managed to get it through. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah, even though I had obviously a UK mobile phone number. So, and then I was quite chuffed that we gave them what the UK got 1 point from Sweden in 2013. And then I think it was 7 in 2014. So I was like, oh, I voted in that. So I got quite excited. But what was the first Eurovision you ever visited?
So Belgrade in Serbia in 2008, that was the first contest I went to.
And was that because of your big love of Andy Abraham?
No, it was the fact that, to be honest, the funny thing was, I knew the tickets were about to go on sale, and I looked at the dates, I thought, I recognise those dates. It was the week I'd booked off in May.
Wow.
So I thought, I'm going to this, and I wasn't a member of the fan club at this point.
Okay.
So I went and booked the whole package, you know, because at that time you could get tickets for all dress rehearsals and the live shows. Yeah. So I'd literally got tickets for 12 shows throughout the week.
OMG.
Because I thought, this is my first time, it might be my last time. I thought, I'm going to live this properly.
Yeah. And,
you know, the amount of technical difficulties they had, it's quite amusing to see it as a first-time fan going.
Yeah.
It's quite, and I don't think you get that these days.
No.
Because they don't obviously open up all the rehearsals anymore. So,
which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, so I missed Moscow, but then I've been back every year since Oslo 2010.
Good for you, matey. Good for you. I mean, I'm dead jealous, if I'm honest. Oh, dear. But what was your favourite song in 2008, just out of curiosity?
Oh, that's a good one.
So there's like 43 entries that year.
Yeah, there's a couple of favourites.
I'll go for it. It's hard to pick one.
Obviously, Charlotte Pirelli in Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. But also, the Icelandic entry, Euroband, and This Is My Life.
Oh, Richard, you speak. Oh, heaven in my ears.
And I just remember that opening the second semi-final and thinking, this is going to be a good show.
Oh, God, yes. It was What a start.
And there's obviously other songs that didn't qualify, like Andorra. Now I know that's Car Crash, but I do like that one.
Oh, I love Casanova. That's an amazing tune.
Yeah. I know, but but then you got the other highlights that aren't a highlight, really, like Dust in the Turkey.
Yes,
it's a highlight for all the wrong reasons.
You had to be there to enjoy it, really.
Yeah, and I don't think really most of the people there understood what was going on.
No, God, I mean, just imagine if you were some random, I don't know, grandmother in Moldova watching it, and you see that. I mean, what on earth is going through your mind?
I don't know, and to be honest, what was going through Ireland's mind when voting for that?
I know. I remember actually watching the Irish National Final live that year, and there was a lady called Laura, I think she came second with a song. I can't remember the name of the song. Is it I'm Not Crazy After All, I think. And that was really good, a very strong performance, but it was a relatively generic pop song, but it came second. But when Justin the Turkey won, it was quite emphatic that he was going to go and win. And I remember all of the boos in the Irish audience that year of the fact that Dustin was going to go to Belgrade.
I think he got booed slightly in the arena, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it came across on TV quite well, which is quite a shame. Never mind, but he deserved it, I suppose. So. You are one of the editors at Eurovoir.com.
I am.
You are. So tell us a little bit like how you got involved with that and what your current role is there.
So I joined at the end of March 2014. So basically up until Malmo, I've been doing the touristy things. I'm thinking, yeah, this is good. But it's only so much tourism you can do in a week, really.
Yeah.
So I thought for 2014, I'd try and approach a few websites because I thought, I can write some news stories, that pass the time away and you'd really get more involved.
Yeah, I understand.
So I wrote to a couple of websites and funnily enough, Anthony was the only one that gave positive response. And all I had to do was write a couple of articles.
Mm-hmm.
One was a news article, one was like a fake interview.
Okay.
So just to show my different sides of my journalism technique. And he took me on at the end of March 2014. And within the month, I was in London covering the preview party.
Awesome, man.
So obviously done two preview parties now in London.
Yeah.
I've done Melfest final this year. I did the German national final. Now that was thing and a half to be at.
Yeah, we covered that. Well, the coverage of what you guys were bringing out. I mean, what a national final and a half, eh?
And we were talking about it in Sofia, actually, because Ewan and I think Charlene from the SE Insight team were both there as well.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that moment will live in history forever.
I can imagine.
And and obviously the other main things I've done, I covered Copenhagen and Vienna this year, and Malta and Sofia for Junior as well.
Amazing. And I suppose these are memories, Richard, that you'll never forget, meeting all of these big Eurovision stars, eh?
I tell you what, you'd be so surprised how pleasant they are to speak to, and you don't get starstruck at all. When you interview them, because I work in retail, I treat them as if I'm talking to a customer. I don't treat them as they're this big famous person.
No, I understand.
Kitty Brooknell at London Eurovision preview party.
Oh, yeah.
I was sort of like warned against talking to her. But actually, she was just like any other person in that room.
Yeah, well, I could imagine. She's a human being.
Exactly, and all she cared about was being at Eurovision.
Yeah,
she wasn't this hyperactive person that we all knew on the X Factor. She just really cared about being at Eurovision.
Oh, of course, and her dedication towards the Swiss national final and the Moldovan national final, trying to get in, and really came through. And I follow her on Twitter. I think she follows me on Twitter too. And, her love of it is quite powerful. And I did feel sorry for her that she didn't manage to get to the Moldovan national final particularly. But
yeah,
she got out qualified from the semis. So
yeah, it was a shame. But
one day, I'm sure she'll do. She may even represent us. You never know one day. Anything can happen.
Exactly, but I've only worked really with the team from Eurovoir in Vienna this year and at the London Eurovision party this year because they've been unavailable to cover other events. So
Yeah.
But when the whole team is there, we can cover so much more.
As yeah.
The people.
Your coverage is fantastic. Really good. Really good stuff. And you've got a new website, I believe, too.
Yes. Yeah, so after Eurovoir.com, we now have Eurovoirworld.com. So where we would cover Turkvision and the ABU contests and any other song contests, obviously it all used to fall under Eurovoir.com, but because we've decided to cover so many more contests, a decision had to be made and a sister site was created. So obviously Turkvision coming up won't be found on Eurovoir.com, it'll be found on Eurovoirworld.com.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so all the international contests outside of Europe will now be found on this dedicated website.
Very good, very good. And is actually Turkvision taking place this year, Richard?
It is taking place. There has been a number of withdrawals.
Ooh.
It is to do with the obviously Turkish regions in Russia. Russia have now told these regions they can't be part of this the Turk organization. It's the acronym is TURKYOM, I think. It's an organization. So there's been a good 6 withdrawals, I think. It's still going to go ahead. It's still got a semi-final. The junior version is still going ahead. Yes, and it's all happening in December.
Good God. So we got that to look forward to.
Yes, and then obviously there's the ABU TV Cup contest, which will be the equivalent of Eurovision. So there will be an ABU contest that will be a competition rather than just a song show like it has been. And that kicks off in 2 years' time in China.
Fantastic. We look forward to that, definitely. And that's all on Eurovoirworld.com,
yeah? Yep, so follow that as well as Eurovoir.com.
Fantastic, thank you very much.
That's all right.
I spent my days in vain just waiting for happiness to come my way.
I don't wanna change a thing. This is my life.
Euroband, Iceland 2008. This is My Life. My second favourite Icelandic entry ever at Eurovision Song Contest. Yes, indeed. And in my eyes, deserved to win in 2008. Absolutely an incredibly amazing song. Well, a big thank you very much to Mr. Richard Taylor for part one of his interview with us. We'll hear part two next week here on the Eurovision Showcase here on Forest FM. But that is your episode for this week. Well, thank you for listening to the Eurovision Showcase here on Forest FM. Make sure you join us next Sunday at 5 p.m. and you can keep in contact with the show throughout the week at ESC Showcase on Twitter and facebook.com/ESC Showcase. Make sure you like our page there too. And you can download all of the podcasts via your podcast app, i.e. iTunes, or any podcast app. Just search for the Eurovision Showcase on Forest FM. So join us next Sunday, 5 p.m. for part two of the Richard Taylor interview. Take care. Auf Wiedersehen, au revoir, cheerio, and have a nice day.